Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the Feast of the Dedication of the Lateran Basilica in Rome, 2008.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The angel brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water flowing out from beneath the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the facade of the temple was toward the east. The water flowed down from the southern side of the temple, south of the altar. He led me outside by the north gate and around to the outer gate facing the east, where I saw water trickling from the southern side. He said to me, "This water flows into the eastern district down upon the Arabah and empties into the sea, the salt waters, which it makes fresh. Wherever the river flows, every sort of living creature that can multiply shall live, and there shall be abundant fish. For wherever this water comes, the sea shall be made fresh. Along both banks of the river, fruit trees of every kind shall grow. Their leaves shall not fade, nor their fruit fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, for they shall be watered by the flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit shall serve for food, and their leaves for medicine." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The waters of the river gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High.
The waters of the river gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High.
God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in distress. Therefore, we fear not, though the earth be shaken, and the mountains plunge into the depths of the sea.
The waters of the river gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High.
There is a stream whose runlets gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. God is in its midst, it shall not be disturbed. God will help it at the break of dawn.
The waters of the river gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High.
The Lord of hosts is with us. Our stronghold is the God of Jacob. Come, behold the deeds of the Lord, the astounding things he has wrought on earth.
The waters of the river gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, you are God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But each one must be careful how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one that is there, namely Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for the temple of God, which you are, is holy. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the Scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. My name is Deacon Brian Carpenter, and I'm here today with Deacon Josh Lang.
Hello.
And Josh, I want to welcome you to your Sunday Reader. You've never been on our program before, but basically what we do is We read the scripture readings, as we just did, and then kind of discuss them a little bit, talk about any insights that we have, either related to the scripture, to the feasts, or sometime just random insights that come to us during the middle of the podcast. So anytime that anything strikes you, just feel free to mention it. But before we get started, I want to introduce you to everybody. Do you want to say a little bit about yourself, where you're from, why you're sitting in my room, that kind of thing?
Yes, so I am a fourth-year seminarian at Mundelein Seminary with Deacon Brian Carpenter. I'm studying for the Diocese of Covington, Kentucky, which is the northern part of the state of Kentucky.
And the interesting thing about your diocese is, if I'm not mistaken, you have the Cincinnati Airport in your diocese, correct?
We do, we do. It's the Cincinnati Airport in Kenton County, Kentucky, run by the in Boone County, Kentucky, run by the Kenton County Airport Board.
Okay. And its initials are COV for Covington.
For Covington, yes, which complicates it even further.
That's right. So if you're ever flying through Cincinnati, you're in Deacon Josh's territory there.
That's right. And that's about all I have to say about me.
Okay. Well, did anything strike you from either the readings or about the feast? I know beforehand, I actually said, I don't even know much about the Basilica of the Lateran, and you stepped in and gave me a little bit of information. Do you want to share that with our listeners?
Yes, so few people know that the Cathedral of Rome is St. John Lateran. We oftentimes think that St. Peter's Basilica would be the Cathedral of Rome.
And that's what I thought.
But really, it is just that. It's a basilica. Of course, albeit a very important basilica, St. Peter's. But the Cathedral of Rome is St. John Lateran, which means that that is where the cathedra of the Pope is. And the cathedra is the bishop's chair. So it is from St. John Lateran that the Pope really rules the church. That is his church. That's where his episcopal seat is.
Yes. And see, I didn't realize that. I always thought St. Peter's, and I think probably most people seem to think that. But as we were looking on the internet a little bit, and it made sense to me, is it pointed out that St. Peter's is actually in Vatican City, which is its own sovereign city-state, so it's not in the Diocese of Rome, technically. So that's why Rome itself has its own cathedral, which is the Lateran, and of course we're celebrating the feast of the dedication of the Lateran Basilica. And a lot of times people who are listening might wonder and say, well, why are we celebrating the feast of a dedication of a church building? And I think, Josh, you said you had some ideas on that as well. Do you want to share some of those?
Yes. Well, like many things in our faith, we use concrete examples to describe what's going on with us spiritually. And so if you notice, all of our readings today from this Sunday, they refer somehow to buildings, to temples specifically, and to church buildings. And so what we're talking about in these readings is not just structures, but we're talking about what they have to say about us as the people of God, as the church, and also about us as individuals. And so one thing that I noticed in our second reading, St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians, is what strikes me is when he says that do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So oftentimes we think of church buildings as sacred space, which they are, but we don't often enough think of ourselves as sacred space. We, as children of God, and especially as those baptized into the community of faith, are sacred space because we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And so we deserve to be treated that way by others and by ourselves.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point you bring up. So, I mean, we're talking about this feast of the dedication of a building, and that building serves kind of as an image for us of a holy place. But then as we read the readings that go along with this celebration of this building, we realize that it's not only this building that's holy or a temple of God or however you want to phrase that, but it's us in each individual person. I think that that's something that's very important to our theology. It affects so many areas of our theology when you really think about it. I mean, from our position on life issues, for example, and other things, it all comes down to this fact that we do believe the human person, each body, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And like you said, it needs to be treated with that dignity and respect that goes along with it. And I think that even is seen in the gospel reading too, where you can take those analogies and apply them right into this gospel reading where you have Jesus saying the line, you know, stop making my Father's house a marketplace. And certainly you can look at that as Jesus upset with the way the temple has been turned into a marketplace in his day. But when we use that analogy that you brought up, how often do we take our own bodies and use them as a marketplace? That's something that just hit me as I'm, you know, talking to you here now, so I am not giving you a whole lot of heads up on that. I'm sorry. But one of the things that struck me is, I mean, if you just think about our culture and the way we advertise, and especially when it comes to sexuality and things, is how often is that used as a way of marketing things, or how often do we view our, even our bodies in some sense, as a type of commodity in some sense, that I'm only as good, or I only have as much value as the work that I can physically produce with my body. So a lot of times in our culture, one of the things we can be more critical of a lot of times is that as people get older and their bodies start to deteriorate, our society tends to value them less and less, as if they're less and less of a person. And I think that if we take this analogy here and we say, you know, Christ is telling us clearly we're not supposed to be doing that, that every body, every temple has its own dignity as a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit.
That's a very good insight. And sometimes when I hear this reading, I'm struck by the anger of Jesus, because we don't often experience Jesus getting angry in the scriptures, but here we do. And at first it's sort of jarring to us, because so often we experience Christ as so very even keeled at all times and so forth. But here he gets angry. And if we continue on the same analogy that you brought up, you know, he's very passionate about his Father's house. And likewise, he's that passionate about us. And so when we don't treat ourselves as the temple of the Holy Spirit that he's created us to be, when we don't give ourselves the dignity that he wants for us, then I'm sure that that disturbs him quite a bit. I'm sure that he longs to have us experience the dignity that he desires for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. And you mentioned that point about the whole anger issue. And a lot of times people say, you know, oh, it's kind of a scary thing, because, and part of it is our modern picture of Jesus is kind of this, hey, I'm the nice guy Jesus. Or there's a movie called Dogma a few years back where they had Buddy Jesus was his name, where he's kind of like, you know, who's your buddy, with his thumbs up, and he's kind of our pal and always with us at all times and just, you know, one of the guys, so to speak, or, you know, one of our group of friends. But what we realize from this is, this should be a good reminder, is that Jesus is actually about something. It's not just about being our buddy and being our friend. And certainly, you know, hopefully we are friends with Jesus, and I don't want to destroy that image. But there's also a mission to what he's doing. And he's also hoping that we'll behave and act in a certain way. And of course, you know, when we don't act in that way, he can get a little indignant at times, or impatient, or even upset. Partially, too, the other thing that I think is nice about this reading is it does show the full humanity of Jesus. A lot of times we don't really see that anger, or if we do, it's just a brief thing where you tell somebody, you know, woe to you Pharisees, which a lot of times I don't know that we in our society hear that the same way that it was heard 2,000 years ago. That would have been a real condemning statement when he says, woe to you Pharisees. We say it now and it's almost a mockable line or something. But then you also have times when he'll say, you know, go and sin no more. But that's about it in terms of his real anger towards sin that's going on in the world. But here we see it right here, this zeal that he has. It's called this zeal for his house. But it shows that Jesus has a strong passion. It shouldn't be something we're so much afraid of as it is something that we should be comforted by, that Jesus cares for us this deeply, that he wants us to experience what's good and to experience what's best for us. And in some ways you can make the analogy between that or when a parent might yell at their child. It's not for the most part because they dislike the child, but because they want what's best for the child, and the child doesn't seem to be doing that a lot of times.
Right. And that's one of the mysteries of our fallen condition as human beings, that for some reason we want what's not best for us. You know, it reminds me of when St. Paul said, you know, why do I do the things that I don't want to do? And we all experience that.
I eat that chocolate cake all the time.
Right. Oh, you're talking about me here, aren't you?
No, I'm talking about myself. Anybody who knows me knows that I have a sweet tooth, so, which is most of our listening audience. And it, fortunately for me, I work out too, so that balances it. But I'm sure it's someday it's going to come, my metabolism is going to catch up with me and it'll come to haunt me.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm noticing that we are coming towards the end of our time on the podcast here today. I don't know if you have any closing thoughts that you wanted to add or something real insightful, or should we just end the podcast here?
Oh, we can just end it, but I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to be here with you today.
Well, and I wanted to thank you for joining me on your podcast and thank all of our listening audience, and hopefully they'll be back next week to join us on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.
God bless.